Thank the Lord for our worship team in guiding us and leading us before God's throne. Isn't worshiping the Lord an awesome privilege that we have? Some of you remember when you used to just sing songs rather than worship God? Just go through the hymns, go through the hymn book. The words were great, but we didn't understand what true worship was in spirit and in truth. Thank the Lord for that. Would you turn with me today to Romans chapter 8, please? Romans chapter 8. Now, we have been studying a series on Christian theology systematically and going through the doctrines of our faith. We've covered many areas. We've covered God the Father. We've covered God the Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we're in the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. We're learning about God's Holy Spirit. We've learned that everything that God does here on earth, He does by the power of His Holy Spirit. Last week, we were looking at how we're led by the Lord. Because in Romans chapter 8, in verse 14, it says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." So God leads us by His Holy Spirit. How many are grateful for that? Thank the Lord for that. We're not alone. We don't have to figure life out on our own. God is there working with us. Jesus said, "I am not leaving you alone when I go to the Father, but the Comforter, I'll send the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one who will walk alongside of you. He is coming, and then He'll make known to you all things. All the words that I've spoken to you, He'll bring to your remembrance." So the Holy Spirit walks with us. He lives within us. He lives among us as His people, but He guides and directs our lives, and He leads us. Now, what does it mean that the Holy Spirit leads us? Well, last week, this is just recapping, we learned out of this passage that one of the ways He leads us, there are many ways, one of the ways is by the witness of the Holy Spirit within us. And the reason why we're taking time through this particular passage, or this topic, is because I've talked to so many Christians, young Christians and those who are even a little bit older, who say, "God's never spoken to me. God's never spoken to me." And what they're saying is, I understand what they're saying, they're saying, "I have never heard an audible voice, the audible voice of God." Now, can God speak through an audible voice? Yes. Does He always? No. There are many ways that God speaks to us, but if we don't understand, then we don't catch the fact that He is guiding and directing our lives. Like we've said many times in the past too, in this room right now, there are thousands and thousands of voices passing through this room. And this is not a weird concept. There is music passing through this room. There is world news passing through this room on these voice waves. But we can't hear it, right? Without a what? A radio and an antenna. You put a radio here and you stick an antenna up and you can catch all these thousands of voices flowing through this room right now. It's invisible. You know that the Bible says, and we remember this, God created all things visible and invisible. There's a lot of invisible things going on in here. And it's much like that with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us, but without our antennas out there understanding how He does, we miss it a lot of times. Even though He's fashioning and guiding our lives, we miss His promptings, we miss ways He communicates with us, okay? So here's one of the ways, other than the audible voice of God, that He does that. It says here, the Spirit, verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So if you're a Christian, you know you're a Christian. There's no doubt that you are God's. There's no doubt that you're headed for eternity with the Lord because the Holy Spirit is witnessing with your spirit that you're His, right? Are we glad or what? Yes. So He leads us by this inward, real, actual sense of God's truth and genuineness. This is what a witness is. It bears witness to what is true. So the Holy Spirit speaks to us that way. And last week, we went into Acts chapter 16. And in Acts 16, it said that the Holy Spirit was guiding and directing Paul and Silas as to where they should preach the gospel. And this is kind of a theology-shaking verse to some because we think we're just to spread the gospel everywhere we go, which is what we normally do as Christians, and there's nothing wrong with that. But God's Word says that He will direct us to people who are ready to hear. And so it says the Holy Spirit forbade Paul to go into Asia and forbade him. He says, don't go. Actually, I forbid you to go in Bithynia. Don't go share the gospel with them, but go over to Macedonia. So not only did God birth the church in a supernatural way on the day of Pentecost, but he guides and directs his church by his Holy Spirit. And that's this sense, this witness is one of the ways he does that. Last week we also talked about the fact that when Paul, also in Acts 16, when this young girl was coming alongside saying all the right words, these are men of the Most High God, they're going to tell you the way of salvation. Even though she said the right words, there was a witness in their spirit, was it was a bad spirit. It was the right words, but something wasn't right. And so the Holy Spirit directed them to cast a demon out of that girl. How many of you know Satan can quote scripture? How do you know when it's the enemy and how do you know when it's God? God gives us a witness within us as Christians. Isn't that awesome? But to be able to understand that is very important. That's what we're doing here. Now, this witness of the Holy Spirit affects many areas of our life. So we're going to go through that just a little bit this morning. Not only in identifying other professing Christians or being led as far as where to share the gospel. Some have never even prayed about that. But God can lead us in that way. Also, in teaching. How many times do we hear teaching on the radio, over the internet, on a CD, in a church, and something doesn't seem right? What is causing us to say something's not right? Or it is right. Boy, that is great and it's hitting me. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Turn with me, and I want you to turn to a few scriptures this morning, so make sure you have a Bible or get one out of the pew so you can follow us along here. 1 John, go to 1 John chapter 2 here. And we're going to read these, and hopefully you have your own Bible so you can mark them. In the teaching that we hear, here in John, at the church, at this time when John wrote this first letter to the church, there were teachers in the church that were teaching the Christians things that were not right. Okay? And how can you guard yourself against deceptive teaching? Well, God gives him direction through the Apostle John here when he writes this letter. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit in his writing. So listen to what God says here. Verse 26. John says to the Christians, 1 John 2:26, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. So here's the context. There are people in the church trying to deceive other believers in what they were teaching and saying. But the anointing, he says, the anointing that you receive from him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Now that anointing, you'll find out in all the scriptures, is a reference to the Holy Spirit. In fact, R.C. Sproul, in his comment on this little verse, says this: believers have an illumination from God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who accompanies the word and keeps us in the truth of the gospel. Okay? So it's an illumination by the Holy Spirit. So when deceptive teaching comes, that anointing, that presence of the Lord can say, that's not right. And we know that by witness of our spirit. Very important to understand. It's not just my savvy or my understanding, because we can be deceived. But the Holy Spirit witnesses to us whether it's true or not. Even if the words are right, is that a true application of that word? Now, go back in the scriptures with me to the book of Acts. Here is how God's Spirit moves on hearts and guards us when it comes to teaching. Acts 17. And especially today in the age of information, we can Google any subject on Christianity and life, and you're going to get things that people want to teach on there. What's right and what's not right? How do you know? There's some great things on there that sound so good but may not be accurate for our lives. Here in Acts chapter 17, verse 10, and this is talking about Paul now. He is going through this area called Berea. It says, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed. Here these people had the apostle Paul, who was already well known, come to them, start sharing the scriptures with them. It was ringing true in their hearts. They were saying, yes, they received the word with eagerness, but then they went back into the scriptures to make sure what he was saying was biblically sound. We want to be Berean-type Christians. When we hear a teaching, we want to go back to God's word. It doesn't matter if I'm teaching from this pulpit, you're hearing, or anyone else from up here, you're hearing a teaching on a CD or a tape or the internet. Go to the scriptures and make sure those things are true. And be sure that that teacher is not pulling a verse out of context. The Bible is the best commentary on itself. And we need to know the entirety of God's word, right? Because sometimes a verse here won't make sense till we see it in the context of all of Scripture. All of Scripture. It is pertinent, paramount for us to know the whole Word of God. Read through the whole Word of God. I'm amazed how many Christians go through their Christianity 5 years with the Lord, 10 years with the Lord, 20 years, 30 years, and they still don't know the Word. They don't live in it, and they're still immature in many areas of their life. We need the Word of God, right? We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Bible says almost all Scripture is inspired by God, right? No, it doesn't say that. What does it say? All Scripture. All of it. Old Testament and New Testament. In the first service this morning, one of our ladies came to me after service. She's been a Christian for about 2.5, 3 years now. She said, I just about jumped up and said something to the congregation this morning, but I didn't have the guts. And so I'm telling you, she caught me between service. She said, just a couple months ago, I really felt like I needed to read through the whole Bible. I've never done that in my life. She was raised in another church. Then she became a Christian, and now she's learning the Bible. And she said, I just started reading through it, and I'm in the book of Ezekiel. Read through Genesis through Ezekiel. And she says, I can't tell you how that's transformed my life. She says, I thought going into it, I wouldn't be able to understand a lot of it. She says, Pastor Doug, it makes sense. She says, it's all underlined. I'm reading through verse by verse all through the Bible. She said, I'm learning so much about God and what He wants. And she said, I encourage everybody to do that. I said, can you stay second service and tell the people that? She said, I can't. So anyway, she says, you tell them. If you have not read through the whole of Scripture, you need to do that and do it regularly. You know, as many times as I've read through the Bible, every time I read through it, I find new things in there. And sometimes I think, boy, did I read that before? Wow, that really applies to my life right now. We need to know the whole counsel of God. In fact, turn with me to Acts chapter 20, just a short distance from where you're at there now, and look at the Scriptures confirm this, all right? Here, the Apostle Paul is in Ephesus. And he's been spending time with these Christians, and now he's ready to leave, okay? And Paul senses that he's never going to come back. He has a sense that he's going to die soon, and he did. But here in Ephesus, we get the account of him talking to the elders and the leaders. And verse 25 says this. Paul says, Acts 20, 25, and now behold, I know that none of you among whom I've gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Why would any teacher shrink back from declaring the whole counsel of God? Because the whole counsel of God is not popular today. There are many parts of Scripture that go counterculture. Even counter Christian culture. There's a lot of pressure on the ministry today to avoid certain passages of Scripture or to lighten up. How many know that? Pray for Christian leaders today. Because God's Word is counter to culture. So we do not want to have the light church, you know, like you have light everything else. You don't want light. We have to teach the Word of God. And the Word of God is life, right? Thank the Lord. Then he goes on to say, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. See the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit here? They didn't just choose leaders. The Holy Spirit confirmed the leadership in the church, which he obtained with his own blood, Jesus Christ our Lord. So learn the whole counsel of God's Word. Anyone can take a scripture and develop a theology around it. The scripture confirms scripture. That's very important. So teaching that we hear, we get a witness whether that's right or not. Is it true? Another area is in the counsel we receive. How many times do well-meaning Christians come up to you and they give you counsel on something that you should do in life? How do we know if that counsel is of the Lord or not? Especially when there's no scriptures to really go to here. How do we know? The witness of the Holy Spirit in us. God's Holy Spirit will confirm the truth of that for us or not. It's an amazing thing as we listen to Him. How do we know this? Okay, well, even in Acts chapter 20, we find here in verse 23 that the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit was speaking to the Apostle Paul that he was headed for trouble. Would God lead us into trouble? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For His purposes. There are some Christian theologies today that say God will never lead you into trouble. Everything that you have will just go from blessing to blessing to blessing. And they're talking about other things. You know what? God does bless our lives. He blesses us in growth. He blesses us in Christian character development. Sometimes He blesses us materially and physically. But God leads us into trouble. In fact, if you look at the whole counsel of God throughout the scriptures, normally trouble is where the Christians are headed for. When God called Noah to build the ark, did he have a lot of support when he built the ark? No, people thought he was nuts building the ark. Noah says, it's about to rain. They said, what's rain? It had never rained on the earth till then. When God called Moses, did God roll out the red carpet for Moses and was life just peachy creamy for him from that time on? No. Moses was called to lead a rebellious people. Now you would think God would have you lead people who were accommodating. Or have you lead people who wanted to be led. No. Moses goes and leads people who don't want to be led. Same with Jeremiah. You look at the whole of Scripture, God calls us to do things that are very difficult. God called Jonah just to go and give a simple message to Nineveh. What did Jonah do? No way, Jose. He heads to another country. He doesn't want to go there. Because it's hard to preach the good news of the gospel and to tell people that God will forgive you when they've done bad things to my family. And Jonah was called to go and proclaim the gospel to the Ninevites who were ruthless in their treatment of his people. And he did not want them to receive forgiveness. So he said, I'm not going to go tell them because they might repent. And I know you, Lord, and you'll have mercy on them. And so I ain't going. But God got his attention, right? There was a great witness for Jonah. And it wasn't in his spirit. It was in the belly of the fish. And he ended up going. In fact, there's going to be a portrayal of this in our VBS. Jonah goes to Nineveh. Tells them that they're going to come under judgment if they don't repent. What happens? They repent. Just what he was afraid of. And then he pouts. Read the book of Jonah. If you've never read the book of Jonah, go this week and read the book of Jonah. 4 chapters. It covers hard things that God tells us to do. It covers if we run away from God, how God is able to get us back on track. It covers the mercy of God, the grace of God. And it covers how God deals with us when we pout. That's the 4th chapter. It's a great story, a great account. And Jesus said that account was true. Anyway, the Holy Spirit of God leads us. God was speaking to Paul that he was going to be led. And also, he spoke to Paul through other Christians. God will use other Christians to speak to us. In verse 23, it says, the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions are going to await me, but he constrains me to go there. And if you look at the book of Acts, many Christians came up to Paul and said, don't go, don't go, don't go. There's going to be trouble. Well, Paul knew there was going to be trouble, but in their emotions, they didn't want him to suffer. But but he knew he was going to suffer. God will bring Christians our way to talk to us about things. And that counsel, is it God or not? It may sound good, but not be God. A few months ago, a guy came to me, and I'll call him George. That was not his name. George came over to see me for counsel because the week prior he had been to another pastor for counseling. And George was going through a very difficult divorce, very painful divorce. He'd been separated from his wife for over a year. He was battling with his feelings. He was battling with his thought life. He was battling with what he was going to do in his future, all kinds of things. And so he asked me what I thought about it, so I gave him many scriptures and about God's strength and different things like that. And then he says, Pastor Doug, he said, thank you for sharing with me the Word of God. I know that this is what God wants me to do. He says, because last week I was with another pastor, and that other pastor told me, what the pastor said was, George, God loves you, and God knows your needs. If you want to go date other women during this time, go date them. If you want to spend the night with them, go spend the night with them. God knows your needs. He doesn't want you to feel condemned. He doesn't want you to feel guilty. You just go right ahead because God loves you and God forgives you. And this George, this guy says, Doug, everything within me wanted to say, that's what I want to do. But I knew I couldn't do that. Why? The Holy Spirit was saying, that is not my counsel for you. You know, God's Holy Spirit testifies what's right. Sometimes we want what we hear to be true, but we know it's not God's word for us. In the 80s, some of you know this, I went through a very difficult time in my life. I was hurt by some people in the church, and for the first time in my life, I battled with bitterness. Anybody ever battled with bitterness? I mean, I used to pride myself, unfortunately. I said to myself, oh, I don't let what people say bother me. It just kind of rolls off my back, and I can forgive people. And I was very crude in my counseling before I went through this time. But I got really hurt because, as an elder told me when I was young in the ministry, Doug, sheep cannot defend themselves against wolves, but they bite. Sheep bite. They bite the shepherd. They nip each other. And he says, as you're going to be a shepherd of the flock, you're going to get bit. Well, I got bit real bad by some people. And I hit depression for the first time in my life. I was wrestling bitterness every day, hateful thoughts. I couldn't pray, God bless them. I prayed, God get them. You know, anybody ever pray that before? I read the scriptures about bless those who persecute you, and it was hard to do that. I never struggled with that before in my life. But man, this was tough. They didn't deserve blessing. And right when I was at my lowest time, I got three phone calls. One was from a pastor in Wyoming, one from a pastor in California, one from a Malaysian missionary, Malaysia. And they came at different times during the darkest time of my life. You know what these guys told me? Every one of them. The conversation started very similar. Doug, you've been on my mind a lot lately. What's going on over there? And how you doing? And I couldn't tell them because of the situation. I said, well, I'm doing okay. You know, God's taking me through one day at a time, and I'm trying to not be dishonest, but not too honest, because I couldn't say certain things. Ever know what I'm talking about here? And then they'd say, Doug, if you ever feel like God's leading you someplace else, come to the ministry out here. I want you to come out here as an associate pastor. I want you to do this. I want you to come as a missionary. And when they said that, everything within me said, oh, God, I hope this is you, because I wanted to leave. I hope this is you. But as I prayed about it, I realized it wasn't God, because God was keeping me in a dark place to teach me his strength when we're battling deep hurt and deep bitterness. And looking back on that time, I would go through it again without jumping ship. I'm glad God by His Spirit wouldn't let me jump ship, because my whole counseling has changed now in that area of bitterness. I used to say, when people would come struggling with unforgiveness and bitterness, my counsel when I was a young pastor, you know what it was? Get over it. Get over it. Take those thoughts captive for Christ. I could quote scripture. You know, forgive them. God says, has the Lord forgiven you? You forgive them. Let it go. Now, after I went through those years of pain, I don't say that anymore. Now I come alongside, I say, you know what? God's Word does tell us to forgive, but it is a tough road. It is not easy to forgive some people for some things that they do. We're all called to forgive, But my counsel is much more empathetic now because of what God took me through back there. He causes us to grow, right? Sometimes through the dark things of our life. Another area that we get the witness of the Holy Spirit, and that witness will help us through counsel, through teaching, also in the decisions that we make. And this one here we're going to close with, but it's very important here. Turn to Acts 15. Go back a couple pages to Acts 15. How many of you love the directives of God's Word? If we didn't have God's Word, we wouldn't know what's going on, you know? But God reveals Himself to us, and this is how Christians walk with the Lord. He counsels us. He guides us. He gives us this sense of truth and genuineness, this witness. That's how one way the Holy Spirit speaks. Here in Acts chapter 15, the elders in Jerusalem had a big decision to make. The decision they were about to make would affect all the churches that were growing at that time, Gentile and Jew, Messianic Jewish churches. They had to decide how much of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, were Christians bound to and how much were they not bound to. That's a big decision. And that's what they were faced with right now. And so they were praying and they were counseling, and I'm sure they had a lot of discussion. And it probably wasn't around Krispy Kreme donuts or anything like that. They were probably fasting and seeking God. And look at the conclusion. Look at the way that the Holy Spirit led them here. This is important for us to understand. God does not always speak with an audible voice, and it's not always totally clear. But look what it says in verse 28. Here's the conclusion they came to. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements. And then they listed them. So after all the prayer and discussion, what's the conclusion they come to? It seemed like this is what the Holy Spirit said to us. How many times have you been led by the Holy Spirit where it just seemed like the way to go? Now, I know some of you are thinking about the Proverbs passage of Scripture that says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. When we are not walking with the Lord and we're just making decisions on what seems good, we have major trouble out there. But when we are walking with the Lord and we're seeking Him and we don't want our own way and we want His way and we're waiting on Him, then sometimes He just unfolds His plan through the counsel we receive from some people that kind of agrees with what God might want. And then a circumstance unfolds, and then we just keep going forward. And Lord, this seems to be the way You're directing me, and God's unfolding His plan. That is another way we're led by the Holy Spirit. Many things come together at that point. The way that Marty and I seek God's direction, oftentimes with financial decisions that we make. That's huge in getting the will of the Lord. I know of a couple who said, Doug, you know, I had a big missions drive at our church, and we gave a few $1,000s to that missions drive. I said, great, but I knew this couple. Where'd you get the money? They said, we put it on our MasterCard. We borrowed it to give to missions. Did God lead them to do that? You know what? That caused tremendous extra burden on this couple. And you know that they were not able to pay that debt off quickly. So they began to say, God, where are You? You led us to give to missions. Now we can't pay off this bill. My counsel would be, God didn't lead you to do that, because the Scripture says the borrower is not slave of the Lord, it's slave of the lender. The borrower is slave of the lender. Don't borrow money to give to things like that. In fact, all through the Scriptures, the counsel is diametrically opposed to that. 2 Corinthians 9 and many other chapters, it says, as the Lord gives you the ability to do so, you give. Contribute according to your own ability, not according to the bank's ability, according to your ability. So sometimes we think we're led by the Lord. We're not led by the Lord because it's not in line with this word. God will always lead us in line with this word. But sometimes the decisions that we make, He unfolds. And the next point there in your notes, the peace that we sense is a guiding barometer if we're in the will of the Lord. This settledness, this affirmation. We're not disturbed inside. We're not restless. We're not unsettled. God's peace guides and directs us with this witness into these decisions. Isaiah 55 in your notes says, the God's people will go out with joy and be led forth with what? peace. Be led forth with peace. And so this peace is very important. If we're moving along and all of a sudden we feel an unsettledness here, something's not right, I stop. That's what I do. I stop and I wait. Sometimes I wait for a year. Sometimes I wait for 5 years. Sometimes I wait for just a day and then we move on because things work out. But the peace of God is really important too as God unfolds his plan. Now, I want to give you a couple scriptures here in closing. This is in Proverbs, okay? Go back to the book of Proverbs because I have to share these scriptures this morning so that you get them in the context of what we're talking about here. Proverbs chapter 16. As God guides us and leads us, and we start making plans. I'm a strong believer in making plans. If we don't have a plan, then the adage is true that says, if you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it. You aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it 100% of the times. Nothing is accomplished. So God wants us to plan, set goals. That's how we become productive in life. Some people say, oh, I'm not a goal setter. Well, we got to learn to be goal setters to certain degrees. But here in Proverbs 16, it says, verse 1, the plans of the heart belong to the man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So we can plan things, but God may speak to go a different way sometimes. And verse 3 here says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Commit your way to the Lord. How do we commit our way to the Lord? Well, here's how I commit my way to the Lord. There's two ways that I want to go. There's God's way and there's Doug's way. All right? Now, to commit my way to the Lord means I have to empty my agenda as far as how I want things to go. And I need to open my heart to say, God, I want it to go the way you want it to go. If I don't empty myself of my own agenda, that means how I want things to work out. I've got an idea and I got a way that I would like things to go, Lord, you know, if you're with me, financially or some other way, children's wise, congregation wise. This is where I'd like to go, Lord. But then I say, Lord, but nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. Maybe this is your will, maybe not. So I empty myself of the way that I want things to turn out, and then I can commit my way to the Lord. And God promises my way will be established, because it'll be His way. Also in verse 9 there, chapter 16 of Proverbs, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes or directs his steps. Establishes his steps. So in this whole area of being led by the Lord, by His witness, and even what seems right, He unfolds His plan. So we're going along saying, God, everything looks good. There's an open door. There's an open door. I've got a great peace. This doesn't make sense, but things are working out. This seems to be the way you're calling us to go. When my wife and I came up here in 1988, that's how God directed us. People thought we were nuts moving out of the situation in Denver that we had to move to Winter Park, Colorado. It didn't make logical sense. One thing, there wasn't much salary, $600 a month for me and four children. And there weren't too many people, eight adults and a couple children in the church. And there was no work in Grand County at that time. Really hard to get a job in Grand County. And a thousand other things. But as God started moving on our hearts to come up here, the doors kept opening. And it seemed to be the way God was leading us. And every time we took a step, that peace got stronger in us. And we knew that it was God's direction in our life. And after over 18 years, we know it's God's direction here. We'll probably go home to be with Jesus from this place. Seems that way. Another couple of verses, chapter 19 in Proverbs says, verse 21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will be established. So we always have to understand that. God, I'm making a plan here. This seems right, but ultimately your purpose is going to be established, and so that's what I want. So we walk cautiously with the Lord. We don't jump. I had to change so much because by personality, I'm extremely spontaneous. And in light of that, very irresponsible, you know. And I've driven my wife nuts financially because of my spontaneity. I go into a sports place and I buy something and I come home. Marty says, boy, did you get that on sale? I said, sail? What sail? It fit. She said, you didn't look for the sale price? No, I just bought it. She's taught me how to not do that anymore. But God has had to change this impulsiveness with me and to where I have to walk cautiously. It's been a work, and it's a work in progress right now. Two, last verse here, Proverbs 20, verse 24. A man's steps are from the Lord. How then can he understand his way? God is leading us and guiding us more than we even understand. Our steps are from the Lord. It's difficult to understand why God is doing what he's doing and why he's not doing what we think he should be doing. But God knows what he's doing. How many are glad? And we are his, and his Holy Spirit speaks to us. And we're going to go into a little bit more here next week because, again, some people think they never hear God's voice. I'm telling you, if you're a born-again Christian, he is speaking to you all the time. All the time, guiding and directing you through his word, through his witness, through other ways we're going to talk about next week, through people, through counsel, through teaching. If we have our antennas out there, we walk in step with his Holy Spirit. Is that awesome or what? Because that's the inheritance God's given us as his people. Praise God. Okay, let's bow for prayer today, all right? Thank you, Lord. Father in heaven, we just want to pause just for a moment here this morning to say thank you for the powerful presence of your Holy Spirit in us. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. And thank you for the way that you do lead us, Lord. For some, this might be new insights from your word. Maybe we've never thought about the fact that you guide us and direct us that way. Some people think if you don't hear audibly from God, you can't be directed from God. There are many ways that you guide and direct us. And we're learning that you have control of our life. You are guiding us. You are leading us. And thank you for that, Lord. You've said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, all of our ways, every area of our life, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. And right now, as we're in an attitude of prayer, there may be some of you right now facing some decisions in your life. Maybe career decisions. Maybe family decisions. Maybe financial decisions in your life. Maybe ministry decisions. Lord, where do you want me to plug in? Where do you want me to serve? Or maybe others. Right now, in your heart, call upon the Lord. Yield your plan to God. Say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done in my life. Guide and direct me, and you will be amazed at the direction of the Holy Spirit. Because he has a way for you to go. He has a place for you to serve. He has something for you to do. And he will guide you and direct you in that. And don't trust your own understanding. Be led by the Spirit. I will be here at the front or the back to pray with anyone who needs prayer. For anything in your life. Because God's presence is here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is life and there is freedom. Thank you for this, Lord. And there may be somebody also, maybe either in this room or listening to this message by another means. And maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. The Bible says the Holy Spirit speaks to those and draws us to God. And if you're one that's here, and maybe you've never said, Lord, I want you to take my life. I want you to guide and direct me. I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. I know that I'm separated from you. I know I need you in my life. My sin is separating me from you. But Jesus Christ bore my sin in his body on the cross. He died in my place. He satisfied your justice in my place. And now you've offered me forgiveness, and I receive that. I want to be yours. If you've never made that step, you can make that step right now and today. And I want you to come and see me or one of the elders or the worship team or an usher and say, I want to give my life to Christ right now. And they will pray with you to confirm that. Father, thank you now. Thank you for this time. And Lord, we lift up this last song again this morning as a praise offering to you in gratefulness and thankfulness for who you are. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand and we'll sing this last song in closing, okay?